Hi there, listeners. Welcome to Random Talks of Kindness, aka Group Therapy for America. Because sharing isn't just about caring. It has the power to bring us closer together. I'm Monica O'Leary Singh, and this is Random Talks of Kindness. Hello, listeners. As part of my series, The Pandemic Experience, I'm interested in talking with people about sharing their stories of this unique, very unique situation. Today, we're going to discuss how challenging it is to stay calm, cool, and collected while parenting. Today, my guest is Sarah O'Halloran. She's an educator, mother, nurturer, and sharer. Sarah, thank you very much for joining me today. She is also a mother of a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. And just to be upfront, neither she nor I are normally stay-at-home moms. And so that adds another dynamic. I'd also like to say upfront that we're going to have a discussion about our emotions in this situation. At the same time, we do know how fortunate we are to be safe, to be our families to be healthy, for us to be in positions where we're not nurses or doctors that have to be in a dangerous situation at the moment. And we are appreciative and grateful of that, all of that. At the same time, just as most of the world is going through some form of quarantining, some form of job and child change, like everything is just changed up. Everything is different than what we're normally doing. It is really difficult in a lot of ways. And I think, and I think Sarah agrees, that it really helps to share and talk about this stuff because as she and I were, you know, talking on a Facebook group the other day, once you share your emotions, so many other people are feeling the same way. So I'm going to pause and say, now let's dive into her pandemic experience. Sarah, let me bring you into the conversation here. First of all, will you share with the audience a little bit about where you are, what your situation at the moment? What is your present quarantining situation?
Yeah, thank you so much. So we are currently in New Hampshire, in a very remote area off of a dirt road. And we are, as you said, extremely grateful and fortunate that we can be in a place that is very isolated, because it makes isolating very easy. And I'm here alone with my 2- and 4-year-old boys. I have been working part-time this year, so I'm still trying to figure out, I have a meeting tomorrow, a Zoom meeting tomorrow, trying to figure out how we're going to incorporate my role a little bit in online schooling stuff. And my husband is in construction and is still finishing up some work, so we thought it best that we head off on our own to sort of keep everybody safe and healthy. And that sort of started our adventure / challenge. It's been a very interesting ride so far.
Yeah. And as we were talking online, we've never met or talked before now, the part of the challenge I have, and it sounded like you were having too, is that like my emotions are so close to the surface that I have a 3.5-year-old and a 7-month-old, and my kids don't mean to, but they drive me crazy. And they make me so angry, and something that I feel like I would normally be able to handle in a more calm manner, I just can't. I just get angry really fast. I'm just quick to snap. And it sounded like you were feeling the same way.
Yeah, I mean, I think as one of the key components of who I am as a sharer, It's actually a really healthy release for me. And I, you know, I am that person that if someone says, how are you doing? I never say fine. I will give you an answer. So be careful. But you know, I need those connections and I need those conversations with people and I need the reassurance or just whatever someone else is going through to sort of sift through what I'm feeling. And it's very strange that it seems that a lot of us are going through a lot of the same things, but yet we feel completely isolated and that we are going through them alone. And I think as adults and not being able to manage our own emotions right now, because there are so many, and I think even the added layer of having to manage emotions for our children, really does put us, like, as you said, at the surface. It's everything. I am very quick to react in not the nicest way, which is a big layer of my stress right now. And that's sort of a really unfortunate cycle because, you know, I'm reacting in this way that I don't feel is good, nor do I mean, I know it's not good as an educator as well. I should not be reacting like this. And so then I feel worse about my reaction and it just sort of keeps you in this negative space. So,
what are you feeling? Go ahead. Like you were talking about, you know, the fact is too that everyone is isolated and everyone is, even if we are in the country, even if our kids can go outside and play without running into anybody else, it is, there's so many emotions going on inside. Can you express some of those emotions that you feel like are running inside you?
Yeah, I think I have a lot of anxiety around the unknown right now. And I have talked to a few friends and this whole unknown seems to be kind of heavy for a lot of people. You know, who is this affecting? Are we going to know someone this is going to affect? Yes, likely we will. You know, how long is this going to go on? It's strange to not have time frames and deadlines and, you know, something that we're so used to in our daily lives now, that even talking with my husband about when he was going to come here, that was also causing me stress because we couldn't really figure out when. And we had it just kept coming up. We kept having these like multiple conversations about when is he coming? And it wasn't until we had some kind of a time frame and date that a lot settled. We kind of started to feel a little bit calmer because, oh, there's a goal in mind here. But I feel a lot of us don't have that right now because even if April 30th is this date right now, I don't think anyone's really confident that that's some date that we're going to achieve. Like, this is feeling like it's going to go on. So a lot of that unknown is, you know, we know our own kids go through that. They crave structure and they crave routine because the unknown for them is also unsettling. So that's been really difficult. And I think just I've had, since I came here, I've had a lot of like bittersweet moments where I cried the other day when they were outside playing because they're so insulated and they don't know what's happening and they don't feel what I'm feeling. And I was sort of overcome with happiness for them and just peace for them that they can be here and enjoy this and not feel the worry. And it also was such a reminder of the sadness of what's happening right now too.
Yeah. I've been calling this the best of times.
It's like a real inner struggle.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I've been calling this the best of times and the worst of times. Because there are those beautiful moments that I think everybody's having, you know, regardless of their situation, there are beautiful things occurring, but it's intertwined with, like you said, all of this feeling out of control, all of this unknown, all of this lack of structural to our normal lives, that is this juxtaposition that is pulling us apart internally. Because it would be lovely to spend this quality time if we all knew that there was an end date, and that at that end date, everybody was going to go back to their jobs and everybody's business was going to be running again and everybody was going to be just fine and everyone was going to be alive and not find out this person and that person and that person has died or been severely impacted, it would feel a lot different. I think you're absolutely correct that this no structure and no dates, no control of anything is very difficult.
Yeah, and it's hard to, my kids are still really little, but it's hard to answer just even simple questions too. Like I don't know. I feel like I don't have a lot of answers right now, bigger picture. And so even other little things where my 4-year-old is asking me, his favorite word is why. So he's always, why this, why that? And I feel so irritated by it because it's all personal, obviously. It's me, not him. That why right now is like, I can't answer that. So that word for me right now is such a trigger. And it really annoys me. Yeah. I feel bad for him. I try my best to answer it as many times as I can, but it's interesting that I internally am like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, well, it's hard because the questions they ask too, you know, my son was asking about, we've talked about the virus, and he's like, well, when's the virus going to go away? And I was like, I don't know. And he's like, well, where did the virus come from? And I was like, well, nature. And he's like, well, what's nature? And like you said, it just keeps going and going. And I'm like, I don't have it. There's no good answer to this. I don't know how to make him feel better and make him feel like things are going to be okay again.
Yeah.
I don't have any answers.
And isn't that our role as parents?
Yeah.
To feel, or I don't know, it feels like that is a huge piece of what we're normally capable of doing because we have the energy or we have the patience or the skill set to sort of ease them into something. But I think that was like a big part of my post. Like, I don't feel like I'm doing my job right now as a parent. And that's sort of ironic because right now that's sort of my only role right now. So that doesn't feel good.
Yeah, it doesn't. So I'm at my parents' house in Northern Connecticut. And when I came here 22 days ago, I didn't know if we were coming for a night, a weekend, a week, or a month. And mm-hmm. I decided to pack as if I was coming for a month. And then if I decided to go home the next day, then I would just unpack everything. So I packed for a month, and I thought it would be kind of like idyllic time, right? We'll just be merry in the country, frolicking in the fields, you know? And mm-hmm. It's so not that. Because of everything underlying, my husband is still back in the city. We own an automotive business that can be open. And mm-hmm. He is trying to keep our business alive in some manner. And so we're making that decision. But also now he's, in my opinion, you know, been exposed. So I don't know whether if he comes here, we'd have to quarantine him for some period of time, probably 2 weeks.
Right.
So I don't expect him to join us anytime soon. And I took for granted that wouldn't be a big deal. And how wrong I was. How wrong I was that that time that he's missing with my son, my daughter, with me, I didn't realize how much that would impact us. And I didn't realize, my husband's a workaholic, but even with the time that we have at home, it's quality time. and it's together time, and my son really misses him, and coming here is the right decision for lots and lots of reasons. But like you said, that period of time, this like month that we've been here that I thought would have been different, I am angry a lot of the time, and I don't want to be.
Yeah.
I snap at him. He wants to play. I don't know about your sons, but my son loves to play. And without any of his friends, like he's like, Mommy, will you play with me? Will you play with me? And for the first almost 2.5 weeks, I basically kept saying yes, 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 yes. And then on Tuesday, I like snapped. I was at my breaking point. I had put them first ahead of me the entire 2.5 weeks. And I was like, I'm done. Like, I am breaking here. And it's not the ideal time that I thought just being home with my kids would be like. And I think it is because of all those undercurrents, all these unknowns, all these, this lack of structure, this lack of normalcy, this lack of, control over anything. And so it's disappointing. I don't know about you, but I'm very disappointed with, I guess, myself, because I felt like I could make this time period different. But yeah. I can't. It's just, it is what it is.
Yeah, I think disappointed is probably a pretty accurate description. I think, you know, similarly, we decided to come here because we could, and it would be an easier situation. We were in a 2-bedroom apartment, and with the kids inside, I couldn't manage it. I was like, I can't, this is really gonna kill me. So I wanted for them to be able to still be outside, and not, like, I was sort of turning into an irrational person. We were at a playground at home, and I started just overthinking everything. Like, oh, if there was a kid out here at the playground earlier today, and they were on the basketball court, and they touched the basketball, and then the basketball touched the court, and now if my kid's playing with, like, I couldn't stop my head from spinning. And so for my own sanity, we came here. But yeah, similarly, like, it's not at all what I thought it would be. I'm just very grateful for these beautiful moments that we have, but we're also so much further north. You know, we're in, so New Hampshire, we're like an hour north of Concord. So last week it snowed here 6 inches. Like, I did not think about that. I'm lucky that his snow pants happened to be in the car. The other little guy was wearing garbage bag pants to keep him dry, and we just sort of winged it. And like, that kind of, those things were fun. We made it fun for a moment, and they got to go sledding, which they've never really done before, and so we had a fun moment out of it. But I think for me, the part that I wasn't fully aware of is that those really fun, beautiful moments are fewer than the other moments. So, like, we had a pretty good day today. We played with bubbles outside. We went for a walk for a nice time. Like, the weather was actually pretty good, and being outside is something that I need personally. So that was really helpful. And then bedtime was like a total shit show. And then I'm left with this feeling at the end of a day that was better, still feeling like crap. And that's like such an internal struggle. That why can you not just like listen to me for 5 seconds so that we can have a good day? And then I have to stop myself and remind myself, and, you know, have the reflection that, like, it's not about them. This isn't, they're not doing something that is making our day bad. It's because I'm trying to hold on to something that isn't there right now, and I'm doing it by myself. If that makes sense.
Yeah. And they act this way because they're kids and they're going to push our boundaries and do their thing. And yet we can't necessarily have the same kind of calm we have other days and also maybe under normal circumstances, we might get ticked off or yell or scream or whatever we might feel or get annoyed, but it wouldn't have, I guess maybe because our totality of emotions wouldn't be so close to the surface, it wouldn't feel mm-hmm. so awful.
Yeah.
But it, like you said, it even just a little bit ends up making you feel so like disappointed. I'm sorry, I just come back to that word because I end up feeling disappointed. Like you said, like we had a great day. Why'd you have to spoil it? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And yet they're just being themselves, but it's so tough just to try to have a good day that then when it gets spoiled, it just is like a slap in the face.
Yeah, and I'm also, with all of the things that we're feeling as adults right now, I am losing my ability to be gracious. And that, in my mind, is sort of a key component to being a calm parent. And, you know, like my older guy the other day, you know, went to the bathroom and like he just decided to not wipe. He just decided to like pull up his underwear and just be done. And that's so bizarre. I don't know why. Like my immediate reaction was irritation. Like, what? You've been potty trained for how long? This is crazy. Like, what are you doing? Why are you not wiping yourself? And then I had a conversation with a great friend of mine and she was like, oh yeah, a lot of my friends right now whose kids are a little bit older are all having, you know, like bathroom regression, like they're wetting their beds and whatever. And I was like, oh, right. So when I'm feeling whole and when I am working and when I am doing my adulting and being with colleagues, my brain can see clearly and I can decipher those things. And I know that, oh yeah, you're going through the same amount of stress that I am, but you don't know what's happening and you don't understand it. And so of course you're having these problems, but because my brain can't see clearly right now, I just get annoyed. And that's the part for me that I think is heartbreaking that I wrote in my post that like, I'm heartbroken that this is what's happening to me as a parent because I'm worried that I'm affecting them with these reactions instead of, oh yeah, okay, like I see that this is hard for you right now, like why don't we put a container of wipes in the bathroom for you and you can try that. Like that's normally how I would be able to function, but I can't pull myself together, and I just feel like apologetic for them, I guess.
Yeah,
I should be
no
it's nicer just... to myself.
Yeah, it's I think we all in regular life, we all juggle a lot. Everybody, no matter whose circumstance, everybody juggles a lot. And then you throw this circumstance in and all those things that, yeah, under normal circumstances you could put together. Right now when you're juggling all these other emotions too, we can't do it all. We just can't. We're processing as much as we can. And I don't know if you saw.
Yeah, and you.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, you brought up your husband and work and stuff too, and we didn't even really go there. But like the whole financial aspect too is a different element of stress that, you know, this isn't just some gifted vacation that everyone gets to spend family time together. There's all of these emotions wrapped up in the unknown, and then there's also the known of finances and what it looks like right now for some people. And you know, I think I'm going to be paid this month, I believe, but I don't really know what it looks like going forward. And just knowing that sort of unknown is really stressful for a lot of people, and a lot of people are going through that realness right now. And what does that look like in the future.
Yeah, and I think that the financial part of it is because the many of us aren't experiencing the virus part of it, unless we're, if someone is sick or they're a nurse or in the medical profession or, you know, first responder type person, or government official trying to deal with those things, we're not in that aspect of it. But the financial aspect of it is hitting almost everybody in one way or another, and it's frightening. It's absolutely frightening. Yeah, I've had lots of freak outs about that.
And then another layer on top, which I'm sure is crossing your mind as well, that I mentioned to a friend, because we're so remote, the nearest hospital to us is probably like a 35-minute drive. So even being here as a kid, it was always a big thing about safety up here and just like being safe and being careful because we're in nature. So that's sort of always been on my mind here. But I've been like kind of all over them, like, be careful, stop, what are you doing? Like, you know, I've been more so. And my friend was like, well, yeah, like none of us want to take our kids to a hospital right now. And I was like, yes, that's what that is. That's correct. Nobody wants to have to take their child to the ER for any kind of an injury. And she's like, I've been a crazy person too about keeping my kids physically safe, not even getting sick, just like physically, don't jump here, don't do this, whatever. And it's another, you know, another layer. There's just so many layers.
Yeah, 100%. My son has gotten numerous injuries while he's been here. And every single time I've been like, oh my God, we cannot go to a hospital. You have got to, like, he was scootering and I don't know what he did, but he ended up on the ground crying and his ankle had this big gash in it. And I was like, please, please do not be broken. We cannot go to a hospital. I was like, this thing. And then my dad and I were looking at it, and we were comparing the ankles, and I was like, I'm gonna be on one hand a bad mom, and I'm like, we're just gonna have to like wait a few days and see if this thing is all right or not, because you know he was in a lot of pain and crying, and it was bloody. And I was like, we just need to, my dad was like, I think it's all right. He's moving the ankle. He's like, I don't think it's broken. And so we both were just like, well, we're just going to wait a few days and see what transpires and make a decision then. Because I was like, I am not going to a hospital.
It's real. That's like a real, you know, we're obviously always as parents worried about our kids' safety, but very different. It looks really different right now.
Yeah. No. And I had this thing when my son was born where I was very irrationally nervous about him getting injured reasons. I don't really have a bubble. I know bad things can happen at any time, and so I don't really have a bubble. And so I wanted him to be able to live a boy life and do things, but I couldn't manage the anxiety about it. And so I've had to really mentally work on this a lot over the last 3.5 years. And now this experience right now has sent me back to those beginning months and like year and a half where I really had to struggle with that emotion, because I don't want him to get injured in an irrational, except for now it's sort of rational, but to a totally irrational level of mama protection. And like, but like you said, it doesn't even come out as protection. It comes out as like, don't do that.
And then that takes us back again to that like negative space. One of the people that I really love to follow is Janet Lansbury. I don't know if you know of her.
No.
But I just really love her philosophy, and it's, you know, this idea of not really needing to say no, but just sort of redirecting. Mm-hmm. So it's just a method that I've used with them for a long time. And, you know, if say they're say they're jumping on the couch or doing something you don't want them to be doing, and you first validate, which is also something we were talking about, validating feelings, but you first validate, okay, I see you would like to be jumping right now. Let's go get a few of your toys and put them out onto the rug and we'll jump over them. So like acknowledging that what they're wanting to do, but just redirecting it so that it's in a safe way.
Uh-huh.
And so I've not been able to arrive at that place right now because that takes so much thinking and foresight and calmness to be like, okay, like let's talk this through or let's problem solve this. And I can't do it right now. So instead it comes out as like, get off the couch. Like, no, you can't do this and stop jumping on there. And, you know, I know from working with young children for a long time that those, every time that you say no, and every time that you meet their behavior like this, it almost gets worse, or it's not worse, but they just continue and it becomes like a game. So I've had moments in the last couple of weeks where they've just laughed at me when I said no. So I'm like, I kind of just give up sometimes. I'm sure other moms are in the same boat, but, you know, that's prioritizing has been a big learning curve, I think, right now too.
Yeah.
As our priorities are completely different, and also shifting the priorities that we normally would want in our home. Like TV is not something we do, but we are doing it hardcore.
Yeah. I joke that, so my son had never played video games or on my phone before. And so I joke that like this virus is going to mean some things for him. He's getting an iPad for the first time ever because now he's been playing video games on my phone. And I'm like, I need my phone. And somebody on Facebook had something about, well, use TV. And I'm like, I have spent so much of the last 3.5 years teaching him to use a moderate level of television, that we don't watch a lot of TV. And so I'm like, I really don't want to just go, because it's not even that I don't want to, because right now I would be like, go spend 6 hours. I would be okay with it right now. He doesn't want to. I feel like, I'm like, I've spent so much time being like, you know, let's go do something, that now I want him to go spend 6 hours and zone out, and he won't, it's like, he'll spend 40 minutes. And I'm like, no. But I think going back to what you said before, it is, because I don't know that woman, Janet Lansbury, though. I'm going to look her up, but I do follow a similar thing about redirecting, but you are absolutely correct. My redirecting has gone out the freaking window. And I've experienced what you're saying. My son amps up, and he amps up and I get more angry, and he amps up more, and I get more angry, and he amps up more. And then it doesn't end well. Then we're both crying by the end. And but that brings me to a woman also posted a nice, I don't know, letter or message from an educator who was saying that repairing, that all of this stuff we're experiencing right now is understandable. It's understandable. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to be perfect, and we're going to have to be even less than good enough. We're just doing what we can all do. Some situation is, we're just doing what we can do with all the variety of factors, all the variety of stressors going on. And that repairing mechanism is the way to handle it, because we're not at our top selves. And they were talking about saying, you and I were talking about, yes, we do talk about our emotions with the kids, and we do talk about saying I'm sorry, and talking about whatever may have happened. And I thought that woman's post was really helpful and spot on, that yeah, you know what, we may be fucking up our kids a little bit right now, because they're stressed out too. But the fact of the matter is, it is what it is. And the way to counter that is to talk about it and say, I'm sorry, you know, I was frustrated, or I was angry, or I was annoyed, or I'm tired, or whatever it is. How have you been feeling about that when you do it? Do you feel like it makes you feel a little bit better?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that I've, you know, I've always tried my best to do that with the kids, because it's acknowledgement and it's ownership. And I hope that it's teaching them that, yeah, we do get frustrated with each other. And, you know, one of my closest friends, when I had mentioned to her that my husband and I had an argument about something silly, and she said, oh, that's a roommate issue. That's not really a relationship issue. That's a roommate issue. And it's just like cohabitating and living with people. And you get in, this is something that obviously everyone has to be feeling right now, where you just need some space, or, you know, something that someone is doing in the home is annoying you because everyone's on top of each other. And so I think just the acknowledgement of us spending this much time together is, yes, we are going to be frustrated with one another. Like, we're in each other's space all day. So I hope that I'm teaching him that, and that it's okay to be frustrated and angry. And I even will usually say, you know, I know sometimes, you know, sometimes you get frustrated with your brother, or sometimes you are angry about so and so or such and such. And I try to reference those moments for him when I am apologizing as well, so that it is a little bit more real for him. Mm-hmm. And it was actually really sweet that the other night they were having dinner, and I don't even remember what came up, because by dinner time I'm fried. But he said something about, you know, you love us, and even when you're mad, you love us. Oh. I was like, I do, absolutely. And yes, always, at every point in the day, I always love you. So maybe some of it is getting in there.
Yeah, Mama, but yeah, it sure does. I definitely sound.
For him, and selfishly for me, I need for him to know that it wasn't nice what I did, or it didn't make me feel good. It obviously didn't make him feel good. You know, I think the conversation needs to be had. It wouldn't feel good for me to leave it hanging. So yeah, we definitely talk a lot. So maybe all of the kids right now, all these little young people in a number of years will be just very empathetic.
Yeah. And take ownership.
Talking about feelings.
Yeah. And I think that as adults, when we're doing that, we're showing them that we're taking ownership of our emotions and our actions, both emotions and actions that we're taking ownership of. And I have been seeing that relayed from my son a little bit too. Mm-hmm. He's been apologizing to me for things he's been doing. And tonight,
I've noticed the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because before I couldn't even get the kid to say, like, he and a friend would get into something and I'd be like, well, you know, say sorry. And he'd be like, I'm not saying sorry. And I was like, say sorry. And he would just refuse. And lately, like, he's been quick to be like, I'm sorry, Mommy, I made a mistake, I didn't mean to do that. Tonight he whacked me on the head. He was just fooling around when I was reading my book, and he should have been laying down, but instead he was fooling around. And I didn't want to tell him to sit down, because I was like, well, whatever, he's just going to get out whatever last bit of energy is in him right now. And then all of a sudden, smack, his head fell on my head and crushed my teeth. And I was actually in quite a bit of pain.
And I bet.
I was keeping myself together, but I was like, oh, that hurt. And all of a sudden, he was like, I'm sorry, Mama, I didn't mean to. I was just, you know, I was just playing. And I was inside, I was like, he's getting it. He's getting ownership. Like, you're fucked up, say it, and mean it. Don't just say it dismissively, you know?
Yeah, the sincerity too, yeah.
Yeah. A couple of things I think I'd like to ask each person that I do this conversation with is, if you could make one small thing better tomorrow at home, what do you think that one small thing could be? Let me phrase it a little bit. That would make you feel better. Let me phrase it that way. Not better for them. One small thing that would make you feel better.
Taking a shower? I'm just kidding.
It might be.
I think really choosing a moment in the day where I really and truly put some of this out of my mind, because I feel like even though we are isolated and we are in a place where we can be outside, it's still on my mind all the time. And I had like one little moment today with the kids where I was being a little bit goofy, which I am not so much right now because I'm just consumed. And it was fun and like it felt good. And I think it's because I wasn't really thinking about what was going on right now. So I think just choosing a moment to push it out of my headspace, it would be mutually beneficial. Like it would make me feel good, but it would also make them feel good.
That sounds like a great idea. And the other thing that I want to ask everyone that I have this conversation with is, at the end of this, what is one small positive thing that you want to take away from it?
I actually have two, sort of. I've been really trying to think about some of those because of the situations we're in right now and trying to find silver linings here and there. And one thing I am already starting to see is, I think that my boys will have a better relationship because of this. I think that while paving that road isn't so easy right now because of their ages and just because of the nature of what's happening, they're kind of at each other, but they're being forced to learn more about each other and be more compassionate and be kinder to each other because they don't have a choice. And I think I'm hopeful that they'll have a better relationship after this. And that sort of ties into my own personal just relationships. And, you know, when everybody is quote unquote taken away from you right now, in this isolating way, I think that just holding relationships a little bit more dear is really important, and not taking those kinds of things for granted. You know, people that you just know or think are always going to be around. I think it's maybe we need to call more. Maybe we continue Zooming after this is over. Like maybe we just need to continue the connections.
I think those are both really good points and beautiful sentiments that I think you will bring out of this pandemic experience. Oh, well, I think we should just end on that note. And, you know, reach out to, you know, we're here, Sarah and I are just trying to reach through the microphone to anyone else who is feeling the same way, regardless of all the other factors that are going on. We wish all of you well, and we hope that you stay safe and healthy. We hope that the financial situation will all get figured out. We hope that the mourning that we all need to do when this is done will also be able to celebrate all those people's lives that we do lose through this. And I hope that we'll all be able to come together and share what positive things, these silver linings, as Sarah just said, these silver linings are really important to focus on, because that is, I believe, a lot of growth happens in the darkness. And this is a very dark period, and a lot of growth can happen if we're open to it and we allow our minds to think about it. Think about it. Think about that positive growth we can make during these dark times. So, Sarah, thank you very much.
We're all being forced to self-reflect.
Yeah, seriously. So,
agreed. Completely agree.
And self-reflect in a way that's really challenging. You know, it's not like we're just sitting meditating for joy. It's like really...
Wow, this is work.
Yeah, it's the work.
Yeah.
Sarah, thank you so much for sharing and for talking with me tonight. It was really great to have this conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much as well.
I'm Monica O'Leary Singh. Thanks for tuning in to Random Talks of Kindness. To keep up with all our episodes, remember to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts. Visit randomtalksofkindness.com for bonus materials, and follow on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Talks of Kindness. We'd love to hear from you.